Joe Biden and his mad rush of executive orders has made Congress irrelevant. The pent-up demand of the socialists who are surrounding this feeble old man are being met with a flurry of items that Congress has no hand in at all. It's government by Biden. I share credit for today's commentary with Vasco Kohmeyer, Amrin, and Trending Politics for their research and comments that I incorporate with my own. The American left spent the better part of last year laying waste to America. Beginning in May 2020, they unleashed and conducted the most extensive and violent riots in the nation's history. In the process, they wrecked dozens of American cities and caused billions of dollars in damage. The insurance industry declared these Democrat-sponsored riots a catastrophe across several states. According to data from Princeton University, 48 of America's 50 large cities were hit by violence from Black Lives Matter and Antifa demonstrations. The rioting became so severe and extensive that over 200 cities had to declare a curfew. Within a month of the riot's onset, 14,000 people were arrested. In the first 2 weeks of the protests in Minneapolis alone, the rioters caused upwards of $500 million in property damage to 1,500 locations. In an effort to bring control, the states had to take extraordinary measures. We learn from Wikipedia that more than 30 states and Washington, D.C. activated over 96,000 National Guard, State Guard, 82nd Airborne, and 3rd Infantry Regiment service members. The deployment constituted the largest military operation other than war in U.S. history. Amazingly enough, the media call these riots and destruction mostly peaceful protests. Before last summer was out, there were already some 30 people killed. The planned riot at the Capitol was deplorable. But there were six times more people killed in those so-called peaceful riots. All throughout the rampaging Democrat base, it was protected, encouraged, and enabled by Democrat politicians, Democrat operatives, and corporate media. Kamala Harris, the current vice president, said this in an interview with Stephen Colbert at the height of the riots in June. She said, "They're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day." That was nothing less than direct incitement to violence, destruction, and murder. Kamala Harris should have been held responsible and prosecuted for those insightful words. Having made statements of this type, Kamala Harris is unfit to hold federal office. Democrats and their media allies chose to ignore Harris's incitement to riot and concentrated instead on their attacks against Donald Trump, who had told his supporters to protest peacefully at the Capitol. Kamala Harris did not implore these Black Lives Matter and Antifa rioters to stop their unlawful antics, and she did not condemn them. Instead, she urged them forward. The left used violence and intimidation against judges and government officials who sought to present the evidence of election fraud. Those who tried to present the evidence were subjected to doxing, property destruction, physical attacks, and death threats, among other forms of intimidation. All the while, the left was claiming there was no evidence. Most judges and public officials who could take steps to try to address the situation were too frightened to implement the necessary measures. Their fears are understandable given the left's brutal nature. The left has used a riot on Capitol Hill that was incited by Antifa and other extremist outfits to destroy Donald Trump and those who supported him. Anyone who has actually listened to Trump's speech or read the transcript immediately sees the preposterousness of the incitement charge. The Capitol Hill incident was set up by the left, and it was planned even before Trump's speech to criminalize a sitting president and the populist movement that propelled him into office. Proponents of traditional conservative values are now labeled terrorists, and the American security apparatus is being turned on them. In an astonishing inversion of the truth, the left accuses the other side of their own tactics and transgressions. Here's what an MSNBC editorial columnist wrote recently. Quote, "Trump is not a fascist in a vacuum. He is the leader of a budding fascist movement in America." In other words, anyone who voted for Trump is a fascist. Objecting to the left's totalitarian tactics is now called fascism, and those who do so are seen as legitimate targets for criminalization and retribution. In the last 20 years, Democrats in Congress objected to the results of every single presidential election that was won by a Republican candidate. The last three times a Republican has been elected president, Trump in 2016, and George Bush in both 2000 and 2004, Democrats in the House brought objections to the Electoral College votes in states the GOP won. These days, however, they seek to remove senators and congressmen who have used constitutionally provided avenues to raise questions about the validity of the obviously fraud-ridden election. A growing number of Democrat senators are calling on Senators Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, and Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, to resign or be expelled for leading the charge to object to Biden electors. They're not allowed to have a mind of their own. Far-left psycho Keith Olbermann said this before the last election, quote, "Trump and his enablers and his supporters and his collaborators and the Mike Lees and William Barrs and the Mike Pences and the Rudy Giulianis and the Kyle Rittenhouses and the Amy Comey Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society." He doesn't want a fair trial for these folks. He wants them prosecuted and convicted. And then he proposes they be removed from society. Amy Comey Barrett's crime? She got appointed to the Supreme Court. That's all. It's the liberal morons like Olbermann who are no asset to society. The American left is intolerant and anti-free speech. It uses terror and violence to seize power and browbeat its opponents into submission. Michael Beller, principal counsel at PBS, said before the election, quote, "Even if Biden wins, we go for the Republican voters. Homeland Security will take their children away." He then said that if Biden lost, he, Beller, would go to the White House and throw Molotov cocktails. Is that not a clear incitement to violence? In a clear display of its despotic nature, the left has censored, deplatformed, and otherwise silenced hundreds of thousands of Americans. But apparently, that's not enough. Countless Americans have already lost their jobs and had their reputations and lives ruined for merely speaking the truth as they saw it. The American left hails from the same ideological and psychological root as tyrants and totalitarians of the past. The United States is in the midst of a totalitarian takeover. if the left is not stopped, we will be almost certainly plunged into despotism. What a difference time makes. We just discovered that House Democrats actually support the police. They are against mob violence. They believe in law and order. They believe in harsh punishment for rule breakers. They believe in accountability. They care deeply about civility. And they believe words do matter. They are all against coarse language. Fancy that. They believe in a peaceful transition of power, at least this time around, as opposed to 2016. They now believe in the Electoral College. And now, as opposed to 2016, they believe in the legitimacy of the people's vote. Democrats now believe in walls, at least when it comes to protecting their own home and place of work. They even now believe in bringing in the National Guard to quell civil unrest, at least when it comes to preserving their own peace. They believe in guns, at least when their own safety is at risk. This is what we learned while watching the Democrats in the House impeach President Trump for the second pointless time in 13 months. We learned that they, almost to a man and a woman, suffer from an acute case of hypocrite-itis. Where have they been the last 4 years with all of these noble ideas that conservatives have been begging them to defend? Perhaps if Democrats had not normalized and encouraged violence when organized BLM Antifa mobs began rampaging through our cities, the tragic events of January 6 at the Capitol would not have occurred at all. Perhaps if Democrats had reflected on their own culpability in the attempted assassination of Republican Steve Scalise of Louisiana by a Bernie Sanders supporter, their sanctimonious lectures would be more credible. Perhaps if Democrats had not spent the last 4 years calling Trump a dictator, authoritarian, Nazi, Hitler, white supremacist, anti-Semite, bigot, racist, dangerous, demented, and insane, then the hyperbole they used against him as he left office might have been more effective. The fable of the boy who cried wolf comes to mind. Democrats and their media handmaidens spent 4 years demonizing Trump, inciting hate against him, using the most outlandish hyperbole their fevered imaginations could dream up. At a thunderous press conference this month, acting U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Michael Sherwin, said law enforcement officials are treating the Capitol riot like an international counterterrorism investigation. He said they were looking at everything, money, travel records. No resource would go unchecked. It is reportedly one of the most expansive criminal investigations in the history of the Justice Department, with all 56 FBI field offices involved. That is great. But where was that kind of gravitas when BLM Antifa rioters locked Seattle police in a building and tried to burn them alive? Or when police were attacked with bricks and Molotov cocktails, whole blocks looted and set ablaze at a cost of billions of dollars, and parts of some U.S. cities turned into lawless autonomous zones inside which people were murdered? That went on for months. At Biden's inauguration, there were at least twice as many troops guarding the nation's capital than the total number of troops in Afghanistan and Iraq combined. Maybe it's not overkill, but the optics also serve the purpose of further demonizing Donald Trump and his supporters to a worldwide audience. That's why Nancy Pelosi posed merrily for photos outside the Capitol in front of rows of uniforms. No class and subtle as a sledgehammer. Biden calls for Americans to unite. Even as Ocasio-Cortez touts a secret list of targeting Trump supporters for retaliation. There is no denying that the American left has become fully totalitarian as a result of the Democrat Party's embrace of radical socialists and anti-Semites. A prime example of the vicious element that has been growing increasingly powerful is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's the taco bar revolutionary who, in a twisted version of the classic fairy tale Cinderella, has become arguably the most important member of the Democrat Congress. Since she burst onto the political scene in the summer of 2018, AOC has shown that she is a petty, vindictive, vicious, and cruel person who lies without consequence, and has a formidable Twitter mob that will even rip any Democrats who dare to question her to shreds. Now that the election has passed, Ocasio-Cortez is conjuring visions for one of the most oppressive periods in world history, Joseph Stalin's Soviet Union. In a chilling dispatch from her Twitter account, the socialist diva encouraged her zombie hordes to begin to compile information on political foes who supported President Trump for inclusion on a secret list to be used for the sort of reprisals that communist dictators have carried out to eradicate dissent. Democrat New York Representative Ocasio-Cortez said that Trump supporters should be held accountable for their complicity in the future. Do you get that? If you chose to support Trump's policies, they're calling for you to be punished for it. Whatever happened to our right to have our own beliefs? Democrats are ready for revenge after the media-enabled fraud that resurrected the senile crook Joe Biden as the Trojan horse for the worst elements of society and have used chicanery in Democrat-controlled states to manufacture the votes that put the capitol on their coup. Thanks to media gaslighting and propaganda, as well as an education system that no longer educates but indoctrinates our young, there are far too many Americans who do not understand history and the horrors wrought by communists. Soviet dissident Alexander Solzhenitsyn's masterwork, The Gulag Archipelago, should be required reading in classrooms instead of such garbage as Howard Zinn's anti-American manifesto, A People's History of the United States, which has served as the Bible for those who have been brainwashed into believing that communism is somehow cool. Ocasio-Cortez has stopped short of calling for Trump supporters to be rounded up and interned in gulags, at least for now. But there is a discernible trend here, and it needs to be called out as un-American and dangerous. Not one Democrat condemned this disgusting call for political retaliation, especially good old Joe from Scranton, who is fraudulently trying to foist himself off as a uniter. Democrats are delusional and hypocritical. They call for all of us to unite and at the same time threaten all of us who supported Trump. They are too myopic to see that impeaching Trump again, while he's already out of office, would damage the Constitution. Jonathan Turley is the Shapiro Professor of Public Interest Law at George Washington University, and he's testified on numerous occasions before Congress on constitutional issues. He testified during the impeachment proceedings of both Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, experience that gives him a unique position on the Democrats' mad rush to impeach Trump a second time. It appears that the Democrats are going to focus their impeachment effort on Trump's alleged incitement of the mob to break into the U.S. Capitol. Turley said That's a bad idea on many levels. And also claims the plan on impeaching Trump a second time is a danger to the Constitution. There was no call for lawless action by Trump. Instead, there was a call for peaceful protest at the Capitol. Moreover, violence was not imminent, as the vast majority of the tens of thousands of protesters were not violent before the march, and most did not riot inside the Capitol. Like many violent protests in the last 4 years, criminal conduct was carried out by a smaller group of instigators. Capitol Police knew of the march, but they declined an offer from the National Guard since they did not view violence as likely. So Nancy Pelosi and Democrats in Congress, as well as a handful of Trump-hating Republicans, is seeking an impeachment for remarks covered by the First Amendment. It creates precedent for the impeachment of any president blamed, rightly or not, for violent acts of others after using reckless language. What is worse are those few cases that would support this type of action. The most obvious is the 1918 prosecution of socialist Eugene Debs, who spoke against the draft in World War I and led figures like Woodrow Wilson to declare him a traitor to his country. Debs was arrested and charged with sedition, a new favorite term for Democrats to denounce Trump and Republicans who doubted the victory of Joe Biden. Turley points out that a 1919 Supreme Court decision criminalized some political speech. A conviction of the famous socialist Eugene Debs for incitement, stemming from remarks he made against the draft, led the court to rule that it was sufficient that his words had the natural tendency and reasonable probable effect of deterring people from supporting the international conflict. Now, Democrats want to impose a similar standard on presidents. That Debs decision was a disgrace. But Democrats are now arguing something that's even more extreme as their basis for impeachment of Trump. Under their theory, any president could be removed for rhetoric that is seen to have a natural tendency to encourage others to act in a riotous fashion. Even a call for supporters to protest peacefully could not be a defense. Now, such a standard would allow for a type of vicarious incitement that attributes conduct of third parties to any president for the purposes of trying to remove them from office. Democrats are pushing this dangerously vague standard while objecting to their own remarks given new meaning from critics. Conservatives have pointed to Maxine Waters, asking her supporters to confront Republicans in restaurants and service stations. While Ayanna Pressley insisted amidst the violent marches last year that, quote, there needs to be unrest in the streets. And Kamala Harris said, quote, protesters should not let up, even as some of those marches turned violent. They can argue that their rhetoric was not meant to be a call for violence, but this standard is filled with subjectivity. The selective and subjective interpretation of the law is always dangerous, especially when the law is used as a club against political opponents. At the time, some on the right tried to use those remarks from Democrats to argue for incitement, despite the fact Democrats were merely engaged in exaggerated political speech. Trump's remarks at the rally before the march to the Capitol have since purposely been interpreted as a call for violent action in the aftermath of the attack. But if nothing violent had happened, wouldn't those remarks be seen in an entirely different light? Trump's words, while reckless in Professor Turley's terms, was not illegal and certainly did not come close to fulfilling the requirements for those prosecutions under the law. Democrats filled with rage and hate are their own worst enemy. This impeachment nonsense will go nowhere, and valuable time for work on the people's business will have passed. Democrats will soon learn that you cannot keep punching people in the eye and calling for unity at the same time. Let me ask you something. Given the rhetoric stemming from these Democrats, from Nancy Pelosi to Kamala Harris to Maxine Waters and on down the line, where they were attacking Donald Trump, saying the most vile things about him, calling him Hitler, a Nazi, and suggesting that he was bad for the country. Suppose Donald Trump had been assassinated. Would those words have been used against the Democrats who used them? I ask you to think about that. There were far more of those words than the words that Trump uttered. No president can control people if they are intent on creating mob violence. Trump called for a peaceful protest. The man was frustrated by the fraud of this election that put Joe Biden into office. He wanted to get to the bottom of the fraud. Democrats did not want to get to the bottom of the fraud. They didn't want to hear about it. They didn't want to examine it. They didn't want to investigate it. And so Trump called for his supporters to peacefully protest at the Capitol. Some of those supporters and Antifa antagonists got out of control and broke into the Capitol. That's deplorable. And each and all of those who have been identified need to be prosecuted for it. But think again of all the things that they said about Trump. The Democrats disparaging the man. Had he been assassinated, would we hold them? Would we hold their feet to the fire? Thank you for listening. You can depend upon my commentaries for truth, a rare commodity in the media today. I'll be back again next week, God willing, same time, same station. And God bless America.